in the crimson tide open for me. Or sin and a flame is exalting our stand, and point to the print of the nails in his hand. O sing of his mighty love, sing of his mighty love, sing of his mighty love, mighty to save.
Greetings, friends. This is J.C. Yoakum bringing you Hymn Time again. Those of you who have listened to this program before will notice a difference today. We call your attention to the fact that the stories and hymns are presented in chronological order, beginning with the oldest known hymn and concluding with one written by a man still living. When we sing hymns, most of us seldom think how far back in history hymn singing really goes. We forget how often in the Old Testament we read accounts of the Israelites singing songs of praise. In the New Testament, we read of the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest," when Christ was born. Also of Jesus and his disciples singing a hymn in the upper room after the Last Supper. And so on it goes, up to this present time. The oldest known hymn found in today's hymn books is a paraphrase by Henry M. Dexter of a poem written in A.D. 200. The original composer was a Greek librarian, preacher, and teacher, Titus Flavius Clemens, usually known as Clement of Alexandria. In popularity, it is far down the list, but it is important because of its distinction as being the oldest known Christian hymn. 17 and a half centuries old, we hear sung now, "Shepherd of Tender Youth."
Shepherd of tender youth, we come thy name to see.
Martin Luther was born November 10th of 1483. When he was 22 years old, he became an Augustinian monk and was ordained a priest 2 years later. In 1508, he became a member of the faculty of the University of Wittenberg. It was 9 years later, in 1517, that he posted his famous 95 articles against papal abuse and corruption. In 1519, he denied the Pope's supremacy, which resulted in the condemnation of Luther and his writings. Luther's influence increased, and the Reformation spread throughout the continent. His greatest literary achievement was his translation of the Bible into the German language. He wrote 37 hymns and strongly advocated the singing of hymns in homes, schools, and church. No other man of the 16th century exerted so widespread an influence as Martin Luther, who gave the German people in their own tongue the Bible and the hymn book. Martin Luther and his followers were always being hauled into court. To give his followers courage on the eve of a bitter court battle in 1529, he wrote his greatest hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Thomas Ken was born a century after Martin Luther's death. He was left an orphan early in life, but was educated by a stepbrother-in-law. He attended Winchester College and later Oxford for his degree. Entering the Anglican ministry, he was ordained in 1662 at the age of 25. He served several churches, and in 1666 he returned to Winchester College as chaplain. In 1679 he received the appointment from the Duke of York as chaplain to his daughter, Princess Mary, who later became queen. He was dismissed from this position for his frankness. Later he was made chaplain to King Charles II, who made him a bishop. But King Charles' successor, James II, sent Thomas Ken and six other churchmen to prison for their refusal to subscribe to his Declaration of Indulgence. They were acquitted, and Queen Anne offered Thomas Ken his old job back. Tired of being made a bishop by one ruler only to be thrown into prison by another, Ken moved to seclusion in the country and spent his last years in poverty. Conforming to his request, the 6 poorest men in the parish carried Thomas Ken's body to the grave, and his friends sung his own composition, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Isaac Watts was born in Southampton, England, July the 16th, 1764. His father, a clothier by trade, was a deacon at the Above Bar Congregational Church in Southampton and was imprisoned several times for his beliefs. His wife, of French Huguenot descent, carried Isaac as a baby to visit her husband in jail. Isaac Watts was educated at the Free School, Southampton, and in the Nonconformist Academy of Thomas Rowe at Stoke Newlington, near London. In 1699, he became assistant pastor of Mark Lane Independent Chapel, London, and 3 years later became pastor. Universally accepted as the father of English hymnody, Isaac Watts wrote about 600 hymns, many of which were written in his early 20s. It has been said of him that to Isaac Watts, more than to any other man, is due the triumph of the hymn in English worship. Always frail of health, Watts suffered much and could not preach regularly. During a serious illness, he was invited to stay in the home of Sir Thomas Abney. The illness lasted 4 years, but he remained with the Abney family for the rest of his life. Acting as tutor to the children and chaplain to the household, he died in the Abney home November the 25th, 1748, and was buried at Burnhill Fields. A monument to his memory was erected in Westminster Abbey. The following hymn was written by Isaac Watts, "Show Pity, Lord."
Show
God, thy nature hath no
Charles Wesley composed more than 6,500 hymns, living in a period of time when many were still opposed to the singing of hymns of human composure. His life was not an easy one. Charles Wesley was born in Lincolnshire, England, December the 18th of 1707. He was educated at Westminster School and at Christ Church College at Oxford, where he became a tutor after his graduation. There he founded the Holy Club, a group of young Oxford students who were called Methodists, because, as Wesley stated, they pledged themselves to observe with strict formality the method of study laid down in the statutes of the university. Following his ordination in the Church of England in 1735, he accompanied his brother John on a trip to the English colony in Georgia. On this trip, he served as private secretary and chaplain to Governor James E. Oglethorpe. In a few months, he returned to London, became associated with a group of Moravians there, and experienced a great conversion there. Within a few months, he was forbidden to preach in the pulpits of the established Church of England. So from this time on, he was closely associated with his brother John in evangelistic work. He traveled throughout England on horseback, preaching to great throngs in the out-of-doors. Although barred from their pulpits, he never formally withdrew from the Church of England. He wrote with great ease and extraordinary facility on the slightest provocation. His hymns were written at home, at church, in the fields, on horseback, and while walking in the street. One of Charles Wesley's best-loved hymns we hear now, Jesus Lover of My Soul.
Jesus Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Father, refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, oh, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me.
Much has been written about John Newton, the one-time infidel and slave trader. His remarkable conversion and intense devotion to the cause of Christ after years of confirmed infidelity have interested Christians the world over. John Newton was born in London, England, July the 24th, 1725. His mother, who died when he was 7, was a devout Christian, but his father, a sea captain, did not share her religious interest. Newton went to sea with his father when he was 11 and later served in the Royal Navy. He joined the crew of a slave trading ship where he was cruelly treated by the captain. At one time, he was master of his own slave trading ship, leading a turbulent life for years with only his love for a fine young girl who later became his wife, serving as a restraining influence. In 1754, at the age of 29, he left the sea and became tide surveyor in Liverpool, where he became under the influence of Whitefield and Wesley. By 1758, he had begun to preach. He was ordained in the Church of England in 1764 and appointed curate of Olney. He remained at Olney until he became vicar at St. Mary Woolnoth, London, in 1780. John Newton's devotion to God was as intense as had been his infidelity before. He continued to preach until after his 80th year. When he died at age 82, he was buried in the churchyard where he last served, with a gravestone bearing the epitaph he himself wrote. It reads in part as follows: John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. John Newton is best known as the composer of one of the most widely sung hymns in the world, Amazing Grace, which we hear now. Fanny Jane Crosby, born in Southeast Putnam County, New York, in 1820, became blind at the age of 6 weeks. She was educated at the New York School for the Blind and later became a teacher there. In 1858, she was married to Alexander Van Alstyne, a musician who was also blind. Beginning in the 1860s, she began to write texts for gospel songs. And more than any other, she captured the spirit of the 19th century American gospel song. Her texts are numbered in the thousands. All who have left a record of association with Fanny Crosby have described her as a profoundly consecrated, sincere, and lovable personality. Although pitied by some, she never regarded herself as being unfortunate in her blindness. She even said, if she were offered normal sight, that she would decline it because the first face she wanted her eyes to behold would be that of her blessed Savior. Here is one of Fanny Crosby's most popular hymns, written in 1868. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Thank you.
Our concluding hymn today was written by Elder Leon H. Clevenger, who at the age of 93 is living in Excelsior Springs near Kansas City, Missouri. Elder Clevenger's ancestors came to the colonies from the English Isles before the Revolutionary War, and at least three families of them were represented in that war. Six Clevenger brothers were soldiers in Washington's army. One of these, Thomas Clevenger, moved with his wife from Virginia to Cook County, Tennessee in 1789. This same Thomas Clevenger was Elder Leon Clevenger's great-great-grandfather. Elder Clevenger was born in South Kansas near the Indian Territory line March 14, 1880, and lived there until 1882, at which time his family moved to the Kansas City area, where he has spent the rest of his life. He was ordained to the ministry in May of 1911. Since then, he has traveled and preached in 25 states. He and his wife, whom he married when he was 17 years old, have celebrated the 66th anniversary of their wedding. Now, at the age of 93, Elder Clevenger is still preaching, and his testimony is, I quote, "The future looks brighter than ever before. Hope is a little stronger and faith a little clearer. Just a little longer, and our Savior will come to take us home," unquote. The words of his hymn tells us a great deal about this wonderful old minister. The title is Counsel. You have been listening to Hymn Time. Your narrator has been J.C. Yocum. This program is edited, compiled, and originates in Cuthbert, Georgia. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time. Until then, may God...